Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air with the mission to equip you in life and truth because life and truth matter. In our post-truth culture of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with truth has never been greater. Truth equips you to live life authentically in Christ, enabling you to strive with all His energy that He so powerfully works within you. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and this is amazingly the last day of January. And so it's the last day that we're featuring in Jay Richards' book, Eat, Fast, Feast. If you don't have a copy of the book, and many people have received copies of this book, but if you're one who has missed out, go to equip.org. It's available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out again at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. When we talk about the subject of fasting, so many people immediately tune out. They think, that's not for me. But as Jay Richards makes plain, fasting is for everyone. It's for everyone because we're body-soul unities. One of the people that is quoted by Jay Richards is St. Leo the Great, who said that fasting gives strength against sin, it represses evil desires, it repels temptation, humbles pride, cools anger, and fosters all the inclinations of goodwill, even unto the practice of every virtue. Now that's a lot to swallow, because if St. Leo is right, then we can in fact shape the state of our soul by what we do with our body. Somehow our spirit is tied to our gastrointestinal system. That might sound weird. We're much more, when we think of physical disciplines, we think of working out, we think of all kinds of things that we do with the body, but spiritual disciplines, we sort of separate from bodily disciplines. But are they two separate things? Well, fasting, again, reminds us that we aren't just bodies and souls. We're unities of body and soul. What affects the body affects the soul, and of course, vice versa. And that means that if we're properly disposed, unlike, let's say, the Pharisees who so often criticize Jesus Christ, then bodily sacrificing and suffering help make us more like Christ. And that's one of the main purposes of fasting. And of course, that's not the only thing that Jay Richards says about fasting. To get the entire scoop, you got to get the book. And see how he combines fasting with exercise and with proper eating so that our temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit, will be at its functioning best. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. It is available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Well, this doesn't happen very often. In fact, I don't think it's ever happened before, but I got a question from the very man who has been announcing this broadcast for decades upon decades. His name's Randy, as many of you would immediately recognize. And he's asking a question, and I thought, Randy's asking a question. I wonder what this question is going to be. It's got to be a difficult one because he knows a lot. But he asked this question, was Jesus out of communication with God the Father when he was in Mary's womb? Or did he still sit while he was in Mary's womb at the right hand of God right up until the moment of his earthly birth. It's inconceivable, says Randy, that the two even could be separate, apart from the period of darkness when he dealt with our sin on the cross. Or could the aspect of separation have been part of his being totally human? Now, that's a great question. And I think to answer that question, the first thing you have to look at is the doctrine of incarnation. And of course, John the Apostle sums that up by saying, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then he says the Word became flesh. The Word dwelt among us. The Word dwelt among us so that we might behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what we have here, Randy, is the clear testimony of Scripture, as well as the clear testimony of sacred tradition, that in the incarnation, Jesus Christ was, Jesus Christ will forever remain truly God and truly man. In other words, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead, added to himself an additional nature. And this is such that he exists as a perfect unity of a divine nature and a human nature in one person, or we might better say in one subject, and never confuses the natures. He never becomes two subjects. And this is precisely what we are taught in the Council of Chalcedon. That's marked by the year 451. And so the doctrine of incarnation is axiomatic to answering this question. And of course, it is an antinomy. What's an antinomy? This is a truth that transcends human logic, a truth in which we hold to two premises. They're both essential. They're both supported by the evidence. But these truths together, they seem, and the operative word here is seem, they seem incompatible. But to affirm that Christ is true God and true man in one subject, while ultimately beyond our ability to comprehend, is not beyond our ability to apprehend. To apprehend the logical coherence of what we're talking about when we talk about incarnation, we have to think about the Imago Dei. Because God created humanity in his own image, the essential properties of human nature are not inconsistent with the divine nature. The notion of God becoming a clam would be absurd, but the reality that God became man is not absurd. So in order to answer the question that Randy is asking, was Jesus out of communication with God the Father while he was in Mary's womb, it's important to understand the incarnation. In terms of his divine nature, Jesus Christ certainly was not out of communication with the Father when he was within his mother's womb. Instead, as Paul says in Hebrews, the Son was sustaining all things by his powerful word. With respect to his human nature, Christian scriptures tell us that that the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So while it is speculation for me or anyone else to say what exactly Christ's awareness was from his human perspective, we can be absolutely certain that there was never a point in time when Jesus was not in union with his Father in heaven. And that's true even during his crucifixion when he was crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And of course, in doing that, he was drawing attention to Psalm 22. And if you read the entirety of Psalm 22, you immediately recognize that Jesus was not forsaken by the Father, because verse 24 says that He has not despised, he has not disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him. He's listened to his cry for help. So, was Jesus out of communication with God the Father while he was in Mary's womb? No. Why? He was one person with two natures. Is it conceivable that there's a despair between, or a contrast between, emotional angst and faith? Absolutely. Jesus was 100% human without sin, and he was 100% divine without separation from his heavenly Father. Good question. Randy always asks the tough ones. I'm glad he only asked one that I had to answer on air. We're coming to station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. Do you remember the number to dial? 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
Eat Fast Feast is a book with a plan to promote healing the whole of you, physically and spiritually. If you are confused about when to eat and when to abstain from eating, don't delay. Read today. Hank Hanegraaff did, and the results have been nothing short of transformational for both his body and soul. To receive your copy of Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting by J.W. Richards, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
The book Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul is a true gift to Christians eager to grow spiritually as they get healthier physically. What makes this book unique? J.W. Richards draws on the ancient church's centuries-old practice of intermittent fasting as a way of life in Christ unknown to many modern Christians. Most books that promote diets focus solely on the physical. Eat Fast Feast is different because it isn't merely promoting a diet. It's a six-week plan for a powerful paradigm shift and genuinely holistic health that could make this the healthiest year of your life. To receive your copy of Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As many of you know, the year 2019 brought some unexpected exigencies into my life. Right around this time a year ago, I had an emergency appendectomy during which I experienced a state of unconsciousness. And several months later, this past June, I slipped into unconsciousness as a result of contracting an E. coli infection while I was in the hospital during the transplant procedure. 3 days passed in which I had absolutely no sense of time. One moment, I was in the hospital room. 3 days later, I was being wheeled out of ICU with no perspective of the passing of this thing we call time. And all of that caused me to ponder what time would be like in eternity. I want you to think with me for a moment during this broadcast. Christ invaded time and space. He took on our humanity that we might experience what is well described as the perichoretic movement. It's a movement inherent to the divinization of Christ's flesh. A movement that is commenced by the divine nature of the Logos, who united our nature to himself in a single hypostasis without division and without confusion. And as such, you and I have been destined. We've been destined to be interpenetrated by the whole of God, becoming all that God is, of course, excluding identity of essence. And thus, there's a sense in which we may stand outside of time in perspective of the ever-increasing reality of our fellowship in the Holy Trinity. But nonetheless, we are finite, and that's how it always will be, and therefore in eternity we will experience time much as we experience time in the present. I'm talking about moment by moment, event by event. The future greets us in the presence and then retreats into the past. It greets us now, retreats into the past. So what I'm saying is that there are only three possibilities respecting our experience of time in the resurrection. The first is eternal timelessness. The second is an eternal present. And the third is endless time. Let me cast that out real quickly, and then we'll go to our callers. The idea of an eternal timelessness is improbable in that physicality requires motion, and motion requires time. And since the new heavens and the new earth are physical, and we will be embodied in immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, resurrected bodies, the progression of time will be as inevitable as motion and change. So what about the notion of an eternal present? No past, no future, only an eternal now. An eternal now stretched and perfected forever and ever and ever. Although there is much concerning the nature of time that's difficult to grasp, the notion of an eternal present seems incoherent to me and unlikely. In practical reality, an eternal present seems very little different from eternal timelessness. I would call it a distinction without a difference. And that leaves us with the third and what I would consider the only plausible possibility, and that is the notion of endless time. Endless time that is analogous to time as we presently experience it. Moment by moment, event by event, the future greets us in the present and then it retreats into the past. In the present, well, we're still captive to the tyranny of the clock. In eternity, there will no longer be that tyranny. Time relative to purpose will no longer be sabotaged by the tyranny of the clock. In eternity, we will never come to an end of time. Instead, we will ever learn and grow and develop without error as we explore our eternal Creator and His extravagant creation. How close I was to that very reality just 1 year ago. Actually, it's 1 year ago, this coming Tuesday. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Jason. He's in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Hank. I was wondering if you knew when the historians first mentioned the Gospels.
Well, you know, you have a lot of ancient historians who corroborate what is going on in the Gospels. So we don't only look at the coherence of the Gospels one with another, but we also look at those extra biblical resources that come from people like Flavius Josephus. And I think that he is often mentioned first in any discussion like this because he was born in, I think it was AD 37. And so he was an eyewitness to many of the details and descriptions that you find in the Gospels. In fact, when you think about the apex of the Gospels, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you find him referring specifically to the resurrection in Antiquities 2200, an easy one to remember. But there are many others, too.
I see, Antiquities 2200.
Yeah.
That's good information. I'll look into that. But what about a historian that specifically mentions Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Do you know about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, they are talking about the disciples in the very thing that they are communicating from a historical perspective. So this is not only true of Flavius Josephus, but it's true of, let's say, someone like Cornelius Tacitus. He was a contemporary. He was also one of the great historians of the ancient Roman Empire. So he wrote what was called the Annals, and that spans the time frame from the death of Augustus to the death of Nero. So this covers the time frame, most certainly, of the Gospels themselves. And if you look at what he says in Annals, he talks about the followers of Jesus Christ, the disciples. He says that the most exquisite tortures were faced by those who followed Christ. And then he describes those exquisite tortures. There are many others, though. You think of Suetonius. He was a contemporary of Tacitus. He was the chief secretary to Emperor Hadrian, and he was best known, of course, for the 12 Caesars. He talks about how these disciples of Christ suffered ignominious punishments for the sake of Christ. And there are many others. I mean, off the top of my head, I would think of Plinius the Younger, and many others. They're talking about what's going on in the same epoch of time that the Gospels themselves write about.
I see. And that's good information. But the reason I'm asking is because I know about the prophecies in Isaiah. And Isaiah, that's been carbon 14 dated to be somewhere between 200 to 700 B.C., and that's good information with regards to dating Isaiah, but I need good information with regards to dating the Gospels in which the fulfillment, happens. So, you know.
Yeah, so the actual dating of the Gospels, there are a couple of things I can say about that. The first thing I would say is we are going to very shortly be offering it's a DVD that draws that entire sequence out for you. Off the top of my head, I can't give you all the details, but those details are very important. So the question you're asking is a very important question. But that DVD will give you the entire timeline in terms of dating.
Okay. Well, good. I'll keep a lookout for that. Thank you.
Yeah. And by the way, the name of the DVD is called Fragments of Truth.
Fragments of Truth.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Hank. Have a good day.
You got it. And of course, I did write about this as well in a book called Has God Spoken? That book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. My gratitude to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Perhaps on Monday's program, when we have a little more time, I can draw out a little of the information with respect to the dating of the Gospels. It is an important question, so tune in for that. I'll see if I can elaborate on Monday, if I remember to do that. Hopefully someone will remind me. Again, all the information, the resources that we talk about on the air, you can find on the web, equip.org. Thanks for tuning in for this week's broadcast. We'll be back next week with more.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Like millions concerned about their health, Hank Hanegraaff had never really known which diet plan to trust. But he's found the secret to healing the whole of you, body, soul, and spirit. Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul by J.W. Richards reveals that God is interested in more than just our physical health. He's interested in healing the whole of us. Eat Fast Feast outlines a plan found in the ancient Christian practice of intermittent fasting that can help you experience deeper life in Christ. To receive Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, a Christian guide to fasting, simply visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.